relations with her. Turns out it was his wife, but he didn't know that. Therefore, had a bad intention, which resulted in an action. Although the action was permissible, but in his mind, it was a sinful action. And therefore, it's different to a case where a person only intended, this person intended to have a relations with a harlot, and he decided he's not doing anything. He's only stimulated his imagination, and he ran away from it. That's why it was sinful. That's one answer. Then you can say another thing. What's the chidush? Who says that? Let me see. There's another answer given that Kodesh Baruch Hu does not bring punishment and suffering for an evil intention, but an atonement you do require. So it's a bit difficult here. You know, that's Chassam Sofer says that. It does need a shlich of a kapor, and he proves it. How do we know machshava ra'a needs an atonement? If it needs an atonement, it means there's something wrong with it. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't punish it as though he did the action.
And you should,
because the oil offering, the offering that's burnt up entirely on the altar, is mechaper on hiro raveiro. The person has an intention to do something wrong. And he doesn't do anything wrong. That often happens with you. So you intend sometimes, especially in this area of life, the lust takes over and you tend to do immoral actions, but you don't do immoral actions. You've still done something wrong. Even Hiro Aveiro, in fact, something Turach Hilavavchem includes Hiro Aveiro. So that in itself is a question. How can you say Kodesh Baruch Hu not Metzarev Machshava LeMaaseh? A person who got machshava to do sins, and sometimes even person, hiravir also I suppose includes, like you mentioned before, that a person really intends in his mind to speak lashon hara against somebody else or even to hit somebody else, but he doesn't do it. So, it's an atonement. But still, it does not need an actual punishment like burning or whatever, burning the feet. Just, it needs an atonement. You've got to bring an oil on Hiru Avero. So we see it needs an atonement.
Can I ask what you just said about if someone was intending on eating pork and he ate it and then it wasn't actually pork, he still needs to do an atonement?
That's right, the Vashem Yislach Lo. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that we'll see, we'll go to
present
and analyze this Gemara more thoroughly. Yes.
Is there a credit given for the person withholding his action from his thought? He has this thought, but he's stopping himself from doing it.
Yeah.
What happened, you know, so you have to do a offering on your thought or some kind of atonement, you know, tachlun,
yeah,
or when you do your bedtime,
yeah,
Shema, say, I'm sorry for any bad thoughts that I had, but what about that you stopped yourself from doing it? Isn't there credit for not acting on?
Sure, Hashem takes it into consideration. If you've got strong thoughts and you stop yourself from doing something wrong, it's considered. Certainly, the thought was still. That's right. Hashem will not punish you for the thought. As long as you do, if you do some teshuva, today you can't actually bring an oil up, but if you should try to do teshuva, the main teshuva for lustful thoughts comes from the learning Torah. So now let's go inside a bit more now in the Gemara of the Hashem Yislach Lo. Because the Gemara on this episode which happened with the wife of Rechiya Ba'ashi, it says we learn it from the Tanya. From this brighter, you want to say, can you say Moshe? Isha Afiram, Hashem Yislach Lo. It's that pe'alav on the base, middle of the page. Isha Afiram, Hashem Yislach Lo. What does it speak about?
Where is it exactly?
about 10 lines from the bend, to Sanya. More than seven.
Just a little circle right before it.
So Rashi says, "Bamea katuv medaber." Since the husband had nullified the vow, what sin has she committed? The vow has been nullified. So why does it need an atonement? But what happened was,
So
Rashi asks, when did she drink the wine? Why does Rashi say miyad?
She drank the wine right away, like right after she made the neder.
Yeah. It was permissible because the vow was nullified. Her intention was to do something wrong, to transgress her own vow. That's why she needs an atonement. Her husband, as soon as he heard her saying it, he nullified it, but she didn't know. What did she do? She drank wine. And they also went to the Pesach Horus, the Kivrit Tzadikim. So on this basis, Rabbi Akiva, when he came to this Pasuk, he cried, why does she need an atonement? So Rabbi Akiva cried. Why did he cry? What can you say? Have a bochi? Karen, you say, Omar, you say. What did he say, Rabbi Akiva? Me? Can you go and say?
Rabbi Akiva, ki have mati la psuka rabbi, Omar, Uma, Mishin is gavin the epa basa fazil, the alabi, alabi basa kata, basa kala, amlo,
basa tale. Someone intends to eat pork. Went to restaurant, eat pork. And but the head of the restaurant said, oh, this is a Jew, he needs kosher meat. So he gave kosher meat instead, which tasted like pork. A bit similar. Today you can make things taste like one. So the Torah says he needs an atonement. This is Rabbi Akiva's application of the same principle. Because that's like the woman, he needs kapor or slicha. Therefore, he says, what happens? Mishnah Chav Lechov, somebody was going to eat chazir. And instead, he actually ate chazir. Allah's come over Kamor, he needs an atonement. And he says that, carry on. Here's another example. Now, what does this refer to? This pasuk. It speaks about an osham, an osham toloi. What's an osham toloi? Any of you know?
No.
Who can tell what an osham toloi, mentioned the Chumash, is a guilt offering on a person having eaten something which perhaps was chaylev. And then there's two pieces of meat. One of them is the forbidden fat, and the other piece is
kosher
meat. Yeah, two pieces of meat on his plate. And he ate one of the pieces and doesn't know which one he ate. Now, if a person does not know the law of chaylev, or he's not aware of, didn't investigate what he was eating. It's got a sophic. Let's say, what's the din if a person eats a piece of forbidden fat, but he forgot that it was forbidden, or he didn't investigate what it was? What's he have to bring? He's got to bring a sin offering. He actually ate chaylev. No question, his action was a forbidden action. But he's got to bring a chatos, a sin offering. Sin offering is brought for doing a chiyuv koros, the shoygeh. The question is, why should a person be liable to bring a sin offering if he made a mistake? He thought the meat is kosher, it turns out it's chela. Or he thought this melacha is permissible, or he didn't know it was Shabbos and he did a forbidden action. He's got to bring a chatos. Why do you have to bring a chatos, a sin offering, if you forgot that it was forbidden? Or if you forgot the mitzvah, you forgot it's Shabbos today, and as a result you did a melacha. Why do you have to bring a sin offering? You have to understand why. Why do you didn't intend to do anything wrong.
But you did it.
You did it. So why should you have to be guilty? Are you guilty for forgetting?
The sin of forgetting what you learned. That's a sin.
Yeah. It's only someone who knows the chaylev is forbidden, who knows the Shabbos you mustn't do malach. But he forgot. Somebody a person never knew there's such a thing as forbidden fats. Or he never knew in his life that there's a Shabbos good to keep. What's the din? Does that bring sin offerings?
Yeah.
Huh? He has to?
Does it?
No. No, if he never knew. No one ever taught him. Tinuk Shanishpo, the din is, does not bring offering. The Tinuk Shanishpo. He never knew. No one ever told him about Shabbos. Never told him about forbidden fats, which is also chiyuv koros. There's no koron. But what was he did know, he did know at one time, and he forgot about it.
If you're like somebody who fell on the light switch, is it the same thing?
Huh?
If a person fell on the light switch on Shabbos.
Fell on?
Onto the light switch. And the light, he put the light on, or falling on it by mistake. You see, is that the same case?
No.
It is worse, yeah?
No. Why is it different, you tell him? What's it called in Dine Shabbos? It's called Shoigeg. What falls on the light switch?
So isn't it Shoigeg if he forgot?
No, but it's not.
It's not a purpose.
Technically speaking, or psychologically speaking, it's different. The essence of the type of forgetfulness for Shabbos, let's say, where we take, it happens more frequently, where we say something is shoygeh of which you have to bring a korban, like the Mishnah said, Rabbi Shmuel said, the sages said, on Shabbos you shouldn't read by the light of a petrol lamp, or an oil lamp. Why? Because you might forget, and when the light begins to splutter and so on, so you can adjust it, it should burn properly. Forget that it's Shabbos, yeah? You forget that it's forbidden on Shabbos, yeah? So then, you have to bring a chatos. But in this instance, the person falls on a light switch, doesn't know the light switch is there. What's it called technically in Dine Shabbos? Not called Shoigeg. It's called Misasig. That means he's not even aware of the fact there's a light switch there. Maybe knew it before, but when he falls, he doesn't know where he's falling. So therefore, perhaps if he would have known there's a light switch there and would have seen it beforehand, he would have been able to stop it. Called Mitasek. He was busy with something else, was running or moving around, and by mistake, he goes and touches something which is called Sabir Havora. You're putting on the light, you're putting on a fire. For that, For that, there's no korban.
But if in his own house, doesn't he have the responsibility, like of making sure that this doesn't happen before Shabbos?
How can you do it? You can't always.
If you're in a goy's house or somebody who doesn't
have Shabbos, you could have been more careful.
No, you
put on top of switches, you put a covering, so it doesn't happen. Okay.
Isn't that part of preparing for Shabbos?
Huh?
It's part of preparing.
You don't have to. No.
You're talking about the same person or what?
He's talking about rough housing.
I'm giving you the principle.
Okay,
the principle is shoygeg applies something that you really knew but you forgot about it. Why should you have a liability?
Because you knew about it beforehand.
But people, is it not natural to forget things? You will forget things.
Okay, but it's
so. The person of Hashem, you need an atonement for it. Why? The intention is a very good one. You only want to do good things. You don't want to eat chaylev, the forbidden fat, and you don't want to desecrate the Shabbos. But you forgot. You forgot
it's Shabbos. Enough to him. That's why I forgot.
Or you forgot this melacha is forbidden. Nobody ever taught you this forbidden melacha.
No one ever taught you. You said that it's not you didn't know about it before.
Well, it's not punishable by anything. And it doesn't need an atonement. Why do they need an atonement? So I gave the example. I tell you, it's really very interesting. This because it's we call it the person who analyzed people's mistakes for the world at large. In modern times, he made a whole theory of it. People don't make mistakes like you mentioned. You can fall. That's got nothing to do with a person's subconscious desires. But mistakes that people make when they really knew something. And they did used to know it, but they happened to forget it. It's called the Freudian slip.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the book by Freud on the psychology of everyday life or something like that, it goes into it deeply. So it's very, I've also heard a long drosha from Rav Dessler on Altresus Rid. Altresus Rid says that the reason why you have to have a smicha for forgetfulness is because the truth is when you really forget something which you were taught and you didn't know about, you forget about it, we're not talking about a person who reaches dementia, but people who've got a good mind and they forget it, sometimes you'll find because subconsciously they want to forget it. So he read this twice as read and Kedushin about it in other places. He analyzes, he says, Chatos. It's called the Chatos. Chatos means to miss the mark. Veloyachati. It said the expression in church when there were archers who could hit the top bullseye without missing the mark. You try to miss the mark, but you miss it. So he said, Chet really means that. It means because of the principle in the Gemara called Milsa Dala. Something which a person doesn't put into his soul, then he's likely to forget it. An example I give, if a person's got parents, and parents expect you to email them or to phone them at least once a week, and then you didn't phone them for a month, is what happened to you? So you're going to tell them, I forgot about it. Do you think the parents will feel that it's justified? It's basically a good relation with the parents, yeah? So it means you're not so interested, yeah? Something, and husband and wife certainly like that.
Yeah.
If a husband goes abroad and so on, doesn't contact his wife, I forgot to phone you. That's no excuse, I'm sorry. It shows. You don't love me enough. That's what the wife will say. Because, what do you mean? Every day when you're here, we talk, discuss everything. And now for a whole week, I didn't hear from you. You forgot? That's no excuse. I'm sorry. It says in the Gemara, called Milsil Ramya Nafshe Lavadaita, something you don't have in your nefesh, in your subconscious. So, perhaps it indicates subconsciously. You wanted to get a bit of alleviation from your wife, you see, or vice versa, can also be. So therefore, since we love the Torah and love mitzvahs, so we've got to bring a chatos. Not put those behind. Chatos invest Good. And is that, if you go more deeply, what are the punishments of the Beis Hamikdash basically? I think the Beis Hamikdash is different to the punishments given by Sanhedrin. Yeah? What's the basic difference? Sanhedrin basically deals with mezid or karov lemezid. Yep, so it leads to things which are more intentional. But the Beit HaMikdash tries to bring us to a level where we purify the subconscious. And in our love of Torah, in love of husband and wife, in love of our fellow human beings, we have to learn to purify our subconscious desires as well. And that's why the major atonement of the Beit HaMikdash is atonement of the subconscious level. I mean, a korban can't really bring atonement for intentional stealing, intentional murder. It's more for unintentional, various levels of unintentional. So anyway, but now let's see further.
So this person
it's very interesting to finish the statement of Rabbi Akiva. Yeah, then he brings Vloidav or Shem, that is the guilt offering. That means not only the Chatos. A Chatos is brought when you've definitely transgressed a prohibition. A guilt offering is brought when it's a doubt, it's a Sophic. Yeah, so then he said, when he cried, that Mishin is chaven, lechol shuman. Shuman is fat which is permissible. And instead he had chelev, the Torah says, v'leyudav or shein. So therefore, Mishin is chaven lechol chelev. So therefore, if someone intended to eat chelev, and he actually had chelev, how much more so? Now, why was it Rabbi Akiva who cried so much about this? Why should he cry? And Yisven Judah says, he says, adds on it, all those who cry should cry about this, that you should have to bring an atonement for things where he did not. So Rashi even says, what does this mean? Say the Rashi, Moshe, can you continue? People who are aware of striving for purity, actions and thoughts. Who had this temptation? Yeah, he realized that you've got to purify your inner intentions, because in the previous episode, what with something sinful happened, Hashem had to send a soton to Rabbi Akiva because of what? You know what happened? You remember the story of Rabbi Akiva? Like the story of Rabbi Meir, Mr. Mitlotzet, whoever Aveiro. He looked down, even he, we described yesterday, as one of you said quite correctly, even Rabbi Akiva, who surely had an understanding of what it means to struggle with the Yetzara, because for 40 years he was ignorant shepherd. But it would appear that he had good middle. Otherwise, I don't know whether Rochel, the daughter of Kalba Sabua, would have given up her proposals for marriage that were available to her. Instead, she chose this ignorant shepherd, as a result of which the father, who was like the leading supporter of the Jewish community and the Torah also, and he was very upset, and therefore he dismissed her from any part in his wealth, and they had to sleep on straw and so on. And then we see, however, the dedication of Rochel to Rabbi Akiva was so great that he became the greatest teacher of Israel. And he even reached the level when he mocked at people who go and sin with the sin of lust. So therefore, the sultan came to him as an attractive harlot. And he jumped up, tzadikatom yifrach, he jumped up to go and reach her. And then the sultan said, you know, I'm not really this attractive woman, I'm the sultan, I've come to test you, in order that you should realize it can happen to you as well.
Is this in the river?
If
Huh? Is this in the middle of the river?
The palm tree.
No,
the
palm tree.
In his Torah safety.
Okay.
The river there was Rabbi Meir.
Yeah.
And Kiva. So, therefore, it's Rabbi Akiva who recognized, as a result of this confrontation with the Sotan, that, not simple, the inner life of a person is constantly being tested, and therefore he's got to try and purify his inner desires also. And therefore, perhaps you're crying about the temptation you almost fell into, but it's there to teach you a lesson. And always recognize that you've got to, some even say that Akiva's the deeper aspect that he was brought to his terrible death. And the fact that here there's, it's too late now. But I leave it. It's a beautiful interpretation. I'll have to bring in the next year. Akiva is the one who is the author of this statement.
Thank you.